favorite day of the week, which is Monday, right? Having confidence on Monday morning. So if I had to give this message a title today, it would be, He is, period, isn't He, ? And so, and as Pastor Lee has allowed me to speak, I'll be preaching once a month approximately. We're not going to let you know what week that is so you don't not show up. But he'll be back. But you know that scripture. I'll start just to set it up here in Hebrews 11:1 in the King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're seeing here that faith is a substance. You ever thought about that? Faith can, if we don't understand, it's kind of this mystical thing. It's like this, people believe, especially in the world, you have this blind, unintelligent faith. You're just believing in something blindly. But that's not faith and faith in Christ at all. Because the matter of fact, it's a substance. What is a substance? We know what's the world think of a substance? This is where the world gets tripped up. We got to understand that unless the eyes of unbelievers are opened unto faith, they just won't see. It's foolishness. So we know the dictionary. I like to go to the dictionary for things sometimes. And so it says that, you know, the world's view of substance is that of which a thing consists, physical matter, or material, a species of matter or definite chemical composition. Basically, feel, taste, or see, right? That's substance that the world thinks about or understands. But when we say substance of faith, it's not that at all. Amen? And God wants us to have confidence because we keep looking to the substance of the world sometimes, which will bring us down. Regardless of the situation or what we see, substance that we see doesn't mean that's the case with the believer underneath of what real faith is. So what is the substance of faith? But looking in the Greek, right? Sorry, I'm just a teacher at heart, so in the English language, and you break it down in Greek, what is substance, right? So substance being in Greek in the scripture is this, it's assurance. Assurance. Are you walking in assurance this morning? As we talk, ask that question to you today. Ask yourself that. Are you walking in assurance? Confidence. Now we know the world's confidence is pride and the swag. You know what swag is, don't you guys? You've seen some videos, swag, the world's swag. We're not talking about that kind of swag. We're talking about God's swag, which is confidence. Amen? Confidence. A person. It's a person. Jesus Christ being that person. Putting our trust in Him. The person of Jesus Christ, our confidence. Amen? We can trust Him, can't we? People of the world, that kind of matter, that kind of substance will fail us. But the person of Jesus Christ will what? Never fail us. That our confidence being in Him. A covenant, it means covenant. We're walking in that new covenant, amen? Not walking in the old covenant where we got to do, or not do. Don't do this, don't do that, right? Never works for anybody. But a covenant in His blood. That's what this substance means, amen? What else? Let's see what else we have here. And stand, being able to stand. Having all, remember the scripture, I believe it's in Ephesians, having all, done all, stand. We're talking about what is our assurance? What is this substance? Amen? Can't see it, but it's evident in the believer's life. It has to be evident in a believer's life for success. Amen, Lord. Thank you for that today. Father, as we continue on, thank you for confidence. Today we thank you for assurance in somebody's life. That assurance that comes, it's evident on the outside. It changes lives, it changes families, and it changes nations. Father, thank you as we begin in this holiday season, regardless of your thoughts, individuals' thoughts or mindset on holidays. Father, may this year we walk in confidence as you speak to us this morning powerfully by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, amen. So kind of putting that down as far as God's view, what is substance? I want a scripture going to Hebrews 11:6. So without faith, without this substance, right, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So that this really, I see the scriptures really two different thoughts, two different trains of thoughts. And the next time I speak, I'm going to be taking the second half of this scripture of diligently seek him. I think for many people in the church, think of it right now. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's in your mind as far as diligent? I know for many years I didn't care for the scripture because it's like, I'm not diligent. I'm not always diligent. As far as following him, what's it mean, right? But that's for a different message. So we're going to put on this, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. We're going to talk about he is today. He is two of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. And an understanding of what he is. We think of he is as like he exists. But I'm telling you, this word means so much more for you and I today. It's the foundation. He is the foundation of our walk with him, our faith, our success with him. You know, God wants us successful in him. I love saying that this phrase that I heard years ago. God did not call us to cope. He called us to conquer. Amen? I don't know about you, but for many years of my Christian life, it was just coping. Not conquering at all. It was just coping. Just hang on. I hope. You ever been there? It's like, man, I just hope I make it to heaven. Forget about doing anything for him. Forget about being successful, whatever that meant in a Christian walk. If I just make it, if I wake up and I'm there, if I slide into home base, safe, they say, safe! Into heaven, right? Heavenly baseball. I'll be so glad. But it goes so much beyond that with confidence, so far beyond that, brothers and sisters. Amen? So much further. So we know this word, he is. You've heard that word, he is, in sentences, haven't you? He's coming over for dinner. He is, right? He's the man. He is, right? Is John coming over for dinner? Pause, or period, answer. He is. But none of that has to do with these two powerful words that we find in Hebrews. See, to really understand that, we first have to go to the Old Testament, right? Isn't that where it all started, as far as the Old Covenant and God showing and God walking Israel through that and coming to where finally Jesus arrived on the scene. He shed his blood. He died. He rose again from the dead, amen, and established the new covenant. But really, we have to understand the Old Covenant, or what God was doing in the old. And so where God uses his name first is to the Israelites. As you remember, Moses, he's raised in the palace in Egypt, right? And so he's there, he's in the lap of luxury, but he knows he's not an Egyptian. He knows that he's an Israelite, and so he tries to, you know, become a leader, kill somebody, murder somebody, and then he's off, he's gone. So 40 years in Egypt, and then he runs off, you know the story, that he's 40 years in the wilderness, basically. He gets married, working for his father-in-law for 40 years as a herder, as a sheep herder, right, or whatever he was herding, as a shepherd. And so we know that doing that for 40 years, he's kind of settled in life, right? He's looking back and saying, that didn't quite work out. Right, I'm moving, I'm forgetting that, I'm just moving on. And then he's out in the wilderness with the herd, and then he sees, what? You know the story, he sees a bush, and it's burning, but it doesn't burn up. It keeps burning. He says, I'm going to go check this out. And it says that God noticed that he was checking this out. So God calls to him, tells him to take his shoes off. And he goes through this story, right? Moses, he was like, he didn't really want to do it. He says, like, you know, put your rod down. It turns into a snake. Moses wasn't that impressed. Put your hand in your coat, pulls it out. Leprosy. Put it back in, pull it out. It was white as, it was clean, right? He basically says, send somebody else. He did, huh? I guess the attitude to have if you want to do great things for God is just say, send somebody else. Let somebody else do it. Sometimes people can be too eager for things. Let God open those doors, by the way. Trust him. Amen? And so anyway, finally Moses, and you could see this attitude. He says, well, they're not going to believe me. Who do I tell them sent me? Who am I, you know, you could just see that he's kind of sarcastic. Everything going, who am I going to tell him? I'm going to tell him this nice story, but who am I going to tell him sent me? And that's where we come to the scripture. So God's first definition, or what his name to the Israelites were, was, we find in Exodus 3:14. It says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I find it interesting that I am, and that is awesome. He is the I am. But when I look at the definition of I am, it says a lot about the old covenant. It says a lot about where we've been, or the mindset of a lot of believers. So that I am has a kind of a definition of is, or are, or was. This is the definition of I am. To last, do, does, and did. It's like a helping verb. It's action. And Israelite always had to have God's help then, as far as in their battles. And they always had to be doing. They had a sacrifice, right? You have a sacrifice for their sins. But was that the last sacrifice? Well, they'd have to do that over and over and over and over again. And so in that definition of who I am, when God said, I am, part of that definition is that do, do, do. I will keep doing for you because I have no choice. Your sins will always be there. Will always be actions that are going to be required. Don't do this, don't do that. The part of that thing, if I am God, his completeness, but it was to the people, is I'm going to have to continue to do for you, and you're going to have to continue to do for yourself. And Israel never could do that, could they? They always wanted to be like the people around them. We want a king like the countries around us. We want to follow their gods. So they were always in trouble. They never could do. They never could quite measure up. You ever felt that way? I can't quite measure up. Can't quite toe the line. My ducks are quite never in a row. Get your ducks in a row, and then here comes a wave. But part of that, God, who I am that I am, is a responsibility of the Israelites. We got to go there, that I am. Amen. So in the Old Testament, there always was an action required, we said. Then we get into this definition of he is. I am. God says that we must believe that he is. He is. Many of us here are people, I'll see, say, yeah, I believe in God, right? I believe in God. You ever have people that haven't given their life to Christ, but they believe in God. They kind of have a mindset of, I believe in the I am, but I can't do the do, do, do. And I feel like I'm always praying, get me out of this, get me out of this. It's always prayers of, get me out of this situation, right? But in the he is that I love about this is that definition, a calling. It means a call. He's called all of us. Purpose. The biggest thing that I think for the church, that I love for the church today, or that my heart is that everybody's been made for a purpose. It's not just a job, but having a job or just being blessed financially or this or that, although God blesses us. But there's a purpose in our lives, each one of us. It says in 1 Peter 4 that we've all been given a special gift for the body, for one another. So my heart is in the body, is in serving one another, that God will bring that evident. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a microwave Betty Crocker cake. Do they make a Betty Crocker microwave cake? I'm assuming they do. But it's a following him, just following him, being open. But it's going to have to be with confidence. It's going to have to be with confidence. So we, part of that is we're talking about what he is means. It's not only just his existence. Amen? Also, it means can. I can do. Come follow me. It means follow. Make. He makes all things brand new. Part of that definition is prophet. There's a prophet in serving him. You know, that the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, one of the statements that was in there is, God was talking to the Israelites. He says, you say, what's the use in following you? We see others around us prospering. What's the use in following you? What does it profit us? But following him, there's definitely a profit in following him. Amen? Does the world offer peace? No. Lasting peace. Is the world for or against marriages? Come on. Just see what's on television. It's always sowing discord. Right? Does Satan want us to be blessed financially? No. Or for our needs to be met? No. But there's a profit in following him. Remaineth. Also means remaineth. Man, we remain steadfast. And it also says wrestle. But remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The Old Testament was wrestling against flesh and blood, wasn't it? The countries around them, trying to wrestle with your own flesh. Don't do this, don't do that. But no, now it's talking about wrestling against principalities. Means standing up against darkness. Declaring with our mouth. Rebuking the enemy. Amen? So where he has the I am, we're now walking with the he is. Let me just go to Colossians 1, 15 through 16. A couple definitions, a couple things, three items I want to speak about on he is. Colossians 1, 15 and 16 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So we can see it this, and he is, we see that God through Christ, for he is God, our value is in him. He has, matter of fact, I'm going to talk about, he is our adoption papers. When it says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. You know, us being joint heirs where Christ was based upon him being the firstborn, the first risen from the dead, amen? As we're joint heirs with Christ. So he's the first one. He's like a big brother. He's our God. He's our family. He's our protector. So the first thing on this, he is, it says that, look, he's the firstborn. Amen? We follow him. He is God. We put our trust in he is. That we can have our confidence in him. He is the image of the invisible God. When people say, I have not seen the invisible God, but through his word, which is truth, and his spirit living in us, Jesus reveals the Father to us, and we see God in pictures. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When we say the invisible God, yes, we haven't seen him, and someday we will see him. But through Christ Jesus, we have seen God. Amen. Do you believe the Word of God, by the way, is still perfect? That it's accounts and not stories? Do you still believe that when you read it, that it's powerful, that it speaks to you because the Word became flesh? Is it amazing when you have the Holy Spirit with you and you value the Word, what it does to the inside of your life, how it starts painting a picture of Christ? Where Jesus says, bless those who haven't seen me but yet still believe. Amen. So the through the Word of God and the value of the Word of God and understanding him being the firstborn among many brethren, we have a picture of God. We can see him through Christ. Amen. So he is the image of God. Verse 17, Colossians 1:7, it says, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Jesus is from the beginning. What needs to be held together? Through my world, though the world may fall apart and what's going on even around us, he holds all things together. He's not surprised about what we're seeing going on in the physical, as far as in our world, and our governments, around the world. Everything's going on. Did you know he's still holding everything together? How do I know? Well, the scripture here. Do you believe that? Whatever is going on in your life right now, he desires to hold it together through him because he is. Part of what we're talking about, because he is, he holds all things together. How about blessing and holding marriages together? Through him, right? Providing for us, strengthening us, because he holds things together. This week, maybe as you're walking day to day, right, on this tomorrow, Monday, remind yourself that he holds all things together. He's with us. He leads us and guides us. You think about everything that's going on around us, even economically, and I think, I got to get all my ducks in a row. I got to do this. I got to do that. I have to be smart enough. I got to take a deep breath. I got to remember, God, you're the one that's my provider. You're the one that holds everything together. I'm going to allow you to lead me. Because when it's up to me, I'm just not smart enough, maybe. It's wonderful to rely on Him. Are you realizing today, is He holding you together because of He is? Is He holding you together? Are you trusting Him? It's a promise. He holds all things together. Amen. We can trust Him. Amen. And then verse 18, 19, and 20. He is also, talking about He is, the head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, Him being Jesus, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. I want to mention there, as He is still working in the head of His church. Regardless of we're having a shaking right now. He hasn't abandoned His church. He is the head of His church. There's maybe a shaking, maybe a cutting away. Things for maybe a good portion of the church needed to change. Focusing on Him. Focusing on the He is. Not focusing just making things business. Amen? It's a body. It's not a business. It's a group of believers together. It's not a business. Now, there's church business, but we cannot treat it like it's a corporation or the body of Christ. Amen? So He is still working through His church. He still blesses us and uses us through His church. I've had people before that will be desperate to want to speak or have a position, but they're not a part of a body. They have no platform. Nobody knows them. Nobody's got to know them. They haven't proven themselves. Amen. They've got this gifting and abilities, but God works through His body. I love to say there's no holy hobos, right? God works through His body. It's not easy, but you know, part of the main part of growth is us as sandpaper. One another, we rub each other, get our edges kind of smoothed off, don't we? The body is precious. And working through things where people will get upset with one another, or relationships growing. We're a family. Do families, is everything perfect in families? Does anybody have a perfect family? It's a good thing. I thought me and Gina knew this one family, missionary, pastor family for years, and since we were young, and we thought they were perfect. I thought, darn. And then as I got to know them and got in a situation with them, business, nothing bad, but I started realizing they're not perfect. They still squabble and some arguing. And I said to them, they apologized for what I saw. I said, man, thank you that I got to see that. That blessed me that you guys weren't perfect. The body of Christ is not perfect either. We got to rub shoulders together. We got to forgive. Part of that, what I love in 1 Peter 4 says, it says, love each other deeply, for it covers over a multitude of sins. Amen? That we can grow and forgive and be gracious with one another. The facet of the body, where we're in a generation where it's like, no, let's scatter. We're part of a church, maybe, but are we together? Are we fellowshipping together? Or are we part of a body where we're focusing on what we're going to do in our community? Amen. It's amazing. That's how God, the King of Kings, the maker of heaven and earth, designed it to work through a church. It hasn't changed for 2,000 years. It's still what He does. Even in the underground church, a church, getting together, worshiping together, encouraging one another. Even in the other ground, it is a church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your church. So I want to mention to this, so those 3 points again, let me just wrap this up, or 4 points I have. You still with me? Hanging in there, good, thank you. He is means that we're adopted. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And I thought about it because, you know, I'm adopted by my stepdad. I'm adopted. So we had to go through the adoption process. Amen? We had to. The adoption papers, all of that. And I started looking, and it's just so powerful. Are you adopted? Joint heirs for Christ? You know, I have a birth certificate here. It's, you know, it's a not the original one, because that would be really old. But it has that, you know, with a certified copy. It's got the stamp on it. I can feel it, right? And it, you know, it says on here that my father's name is Todd Carroll Nanke. But I was adopted. But this thing looks like as if he's been my father since the day I was born. Nobody would ever know. And we're adopted into his family. You have a birth certificate that has your father's name on it, regardless of where you came from. We can have confidence that he loves us. Man, you have a birth certificate. You're joint heirs. So many people don't have confidence. They don't realize what his blood, and it's stamped in his blood. We belong to him. Amen. If you're adopted, you're his child. And when you realize that, how much he loves you, that gives you confidence. He is the firstborn among the dead, rising from the dead, making us joint heirs with Christ, being his children as if we never belonged to Satan. Because the truth of the matter is, what did Jesus say to the Israelites? You do what your father, the devil, wants. A shock to them. Realize that when Adam and Eve had sinned, that basically the papers were given over to Satan as they were children. The world belonged to Satan and the people belonged to Satan. But when he shed his blood, he said, no, I got the adoption papers. They belong to me. Those who realize who love me, they're my children forever and ever. I mean, we make mistakes, we may fall, we may skin our knees. You can get crazy at times, but you're still adopted if you believe he is the Son of God. That gives you confidence. You know, when you have confidence in him, the world sees it. You want to be more like him. When you make mistakes, Lord Jesus, it doesn't stop you. You say, man, I don't want to be that way. It gives you that say, I want to be more like my father. I want to be more like my big brother Jesus, my God. Amen? You have your birth certificate, don't you? Who's the father on your birth certificate? And it's amazing when we have this. Nobody has any idea where I came from. Doesn't know. It'd be just like Todd was there. And he wasn't. He wasn't there. But because I was adopted, it's as he was. Amen? The past is gone. The past is gone. Amen. Number two, he's holding you together. When things around us are falling apart, he is keeping you together. You can be whole. You can be whole. He's holding the trust those things as a lot of times people with hurts and pains, character issues. Man, he's just trust him. He'll change you. Draw close to him. You're his child. Amen? There's a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 10-year-old, when they make mistakes, if they're my child, right? They're still my child. I don't turn my back on them. Religion teaches us that it's the I am that I am, that you got to do, so it's like God turns his back on you, but that's not what we're following now. He is, we're following the he is now. Number three, just a reminder, he's still working in his church. Don't allow the devil of the world to tell you that the church has no effect or we don't need the church anymore. That's what Satan wants. But he's still working in this world through his church. Amen? Do you love his church? I love his church. And the last thing in that scripture where it talked about in verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, Jesus is still in the business of reconciliation. Reconciliation means peace. You know, when I know that God's doing some things in people or families' life, you know what the first evidence of that is? Peace. There's a peace. Not all these things we think of, just great miracles and all this stuff, which are awesome. The first evidence that God is working in a life or in a family is peace. And if you've been in a home that was not peaceful, you know that to be true. A lot of people, their background, right? There was no peace. It was always contrary to peace. So reconciliation, giving your life to him, realizing if you've given your life to him, show Satan your birth certificate. Tell him to take a hike. You belong to Jesus, amen? You've been reconciled to him. That's peace. If you don't have that peace, ask the Lord, well, what is going on? Has to do with confidence a lot of time. Well, we realize this morning that because of he is, Lord, we're born again, we're adopted, you're holding us together, you're protecting us. Amen. You're protecting us. Thank you, Jesus. You're still working in the church, and you're still reconciling people to himself. Amen. If the worship team can come, because this is a shorter service today, I hope it didn't seem rushed. I hope that you got something from this. I hold it, if anything, this week, hold up your birth certificate to Satan. Isn't that powerful that we have that? Doesn't matter your past. You've been adopted, man. Doesn't matter your past. Satan tries to remind you of that. Say, no, who's my father? Your name's not on there, Satan. Your name might have been on there one time, but God doesn't know that. This is official now. And so we thank you. Can we stand up together? Can we stand?
Yes, sir.
Father, we thank you today. Next week we'll have a normal service, length time. Do we ever have a normal service? If your mindset is that I am who I am, we're the do, and you feel like God's always got to get you at a ha, can you switch your thinking a little bit that He is? He has accomplished for you. He is risen from the dead. He was and is to come. Did you realize that if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you belong to Him? If you haven't, if after the service, if you want to come and see me, there'll be some folks up front. If you need someone to pray with you, man, prayer is powerful. Don't hold back. If you need prayer today, come and get prayer. Would you please? If you need someone to pray for you for confidence, the thing that we want to leave here is, Lord, you want us confidence. Because of the He is, we can be confident.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
We can be confident in Him.
Yes.
We can trust Him. As this holiday, Christmas season, regardless of what's going on around us, Lord, thank you. As we think about what Him being born of a virgin, amen? Living a perfect life without sin. The only one that's ever done it, right? Given His life willingly on a cross, shedding His blood, raising from a tomb at the right hand of the Father, and He's coming again for you and I. He's coming to come and get us because we've been adopted. He's coming to get us. Amen. And so we tarry, we walk in strength and confidence and purpose until then. Father, as we sing a worship song, as we will dismiss, we thank you for blessing us this week, Lord. We thank you for strengthening us. Father God, we thank you for breaking the lies of Satan in the name of Jesus, who tries to tell us who we are. Well, Lord, we thank you this week, Lord. We're telling where who He is, and that we follow and walk with the He is. But we thank you for confidence and strengthening us this week, for how we love you, how we praise you, and we worship you. So if we could just worship this song, whatever we sing, if we could just worship Him together with confidence. Amen? Let's do that. And then we'll be released. Thank you.